Those of you that know me know. These are my friends. This isn't torture. I don't know where I start. This, what you see, is the power of love, and that comes from this church and the people that I'm getting to know. This is my story, my journey to love. Love is connection and compassion, sometimes a place to go when you need it, figuring out where this is. Is it a place, person, thing? Is it fluid or permanent? Once you have it, will it stay? Do you have to keep going back to it or move forward into it? Who has it to give? How do you internalize it? Developing, creating, sharing. Some people say it's with you. It's within you. What if you have experienced love from the outside, but your insides have a wall of hatred that keeps love out? Is it my fault that I don't feel that love for but only a few? When love would come toward me, it flew to the right and left of me, but wouldn't stay. Is love a slow discovery or a sudden awakening? Sometimes I thought love was accepting the unacceptable, believing words or behavior, over behavior. Love was an obsession that said if I don't have that person or thing, I felt I couldn't make it. How do I get it, keep it, and sometimes give it? The love within you. God loves you. God is love. You don't have to do anything to earn it. Wounded, broken, and ashamed. Self-hatred, unbearable pain that says to yourself, look at all the damage you have caused. If this is living, what is the point? Over and over. For years, suicidal thoughts. If only you could have or should have lived a different life, maybe different choices. Continual voices of self-condemnation and despair. This is ad lib, so I'm going to pull a Donald Trump. I want to say this by my history, my family, my parents. There was a lot of awful things, but as I grew with my mother and my life and my father, my mother especially started. She was a wonderful person. Even though she contributed quite a bit to my dysfunction in my life, there was a lot of healing that went on. And so this is my mom. During those times of an ongoing struggle, the one love of my life was still my mother. I still say she was the closest I knew to God's love. If I had to guess what it was like or feel like, that's who my mother was. Always love in her hellos, a soothing balm of comfort. Gentleness, not judgment. How's my girl, she would say. The times of looking at each other and saying, or she would say, I know how much you love me. Lizzie, you're not going to understand this, but when I say it, I know the joy I felt. Every time I called my mother, she'd say, hello, Susan. I'd say, hello, Mom. And every time we would laugh. Something that I'll never forget. It was instant love that I felt in my soul to have so much offered and given. She showed me her love with a sincerity I never ever questioned. Why then, when I hung up the phone, walked away to do my life, live my life, did the despair come back, the self-doubt? Why, when I had my family's love, friends, and who loved spending time with me, how can such a hole still exist? I have an eating disorder that I have treated through a 12-step program. I've abused my body for years with food and self-destructive behavior. But I have also been seeking recovery and joy for just as long. I've been on a spiritual journey for 30 years. Not until the last almost two have I truly... And self-compassion, I remember one day sitting on my couch after a few days of emotionally shutting down. I was so tired of the coming back to what's the point, the same place in my life over and over again. I was numbing out. Oh, I wasn't numbing out over with food or any self-destructive behaviors. I had been working hard to start to stay conscious to life, talk about my anger, disappointment, but I couldn't move beyond my hopelessness. I had been ready. I'd been reading a lot, and I was doing talk therapy, and I was reading Brené Brown about shame and Marianne Williamson's self-discovery. That'll screw up your life right there if you're not going forward. Looking at my life and how I just continued to look at my life and how I had wronged people, the choices that I was making, mistakes I've made. For some reason that day, when I told God, I can't do this anymore, I can't continue to work this hard and change and still feel so much self-loathing. I think because I was willing to live one day at a time and not give in to the what's the point mantra I had developed so well, somehow God gave me the ability to see the missing part. Was my self-compassion. I cried for the young me that couldn't defend herself, who was neglected, made to endure abuse after abuse. All of the years spent living in a self-destructive shame that was my second skin. Since my discovery into self-compassion, I have been able to internalize the love offered by my friends and family. I don't want to hurt myself physically or emotionally like I used to with my shame. And it raises its ugly head once in a while, yet I don't stay down. And because I love myself enough to ask for help and move up, move into the light again, I want to give myself grace. When I make mistakes or have memories that trigger my old ways of thinking, what my journey to love means now that I can feel empathy, compassion, and love for myself. I can offer that to others more, too. And I'm not one for slogans, and Joyce knows that. I can't stand stuff like live and let live, or and one of them is, what is it? You have to love yourself before you can love anyone else. And I hated that. I hated it because I couldn't. I didn't know that's what I was missing. I think it still sounds cheesy, but I understand it. And it's not something I could develop on my own. I still have so much healing and self-forgiveness to do, but I have come such a long way. And I want to say to you, people here at this church, I prayed for community and a lot, I didn't know that's what I was missing. And that's one of the things that for me in my journey, I'm a firm believer in God meets you where you are. And God was trying so hard to, direct me. And I know that the only way I could be directed was if I was conscious and I listened and I showed up as best I could. And so I came here, and my friend Joyce Hosteller, I think that when my mom died, Joyce unknowingly stepped into that position of an unconditional love that helped, I think, save me. She went out of town like she does all the time. And I remember not long after my mom died and calling my sister and saying, she left. And I had that connection. And that's one of the reasons I'm here now, because of her and her life that her and Jeff live, and unconditional love. And I thought, well, if she has that and she says, you have that here, then I'm going to try it. And I haven't been disappointed since. I still can't remember. I don't remember. Yeah, I'm not even going to go there. My new love of my life is my granddaughter, Emerson. Truthfully, she's my new addiction. And nothing motivated me to stay clean, abstinent, or my mother died from the disease of compulsive overeating. And what saves me today and what will for sure solidify a relationship forever with my granddaughters, my being healthy and staying conscious and embracing love that's given to me and, you know, giving to myself. And my hope with love and learning about myself, and also, you know, through that is showing up and learning about you and your families and how to be supportive. And I'm not real good at that yet because I didn't think it mattered. And now through your showing up to me every Sunday in my small group, I never was one of those people that could say life is better than I ever thought it could be. I'm kind of in the middle of that at this point, but it is better. So I think with love is not something anymore that's elusive, because it doesn't matter if God exists. It matters, but to me, unless I can... being able to give that to myself through God's support and showing me the truth, that's when it matters, because otherwise it's elusive to me. You can tell me all day long, God loves me. And I can say that now, and I believe that. So I just end, and I believe in what love can do.